Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name, and we ask, Lord, that you will help us to say what you want said in these moments. And thank you for the privilege to be in church. And Lord, we so desperately need it, all that we can get of it. Have your way and touch those that are not able to be with us tonight. Prepare us for the Lord's day that's coming soon. If you do not come and take away your church in the meantime, in the rapture, I pray you will help us, Lord, to be up and about the Father's business. Help us to deny ourselves, reckon ourselves to be indeed dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Help us, Lord, to be like Paul and claim walk in the truth of our crucifixion with Christ. May your will be done tonight. And Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Just want to remind us tonight, and just felt like the Lord would have us to look at verse number 23. And it wouldn't hurt us at all to have this verse marked, to have this verse memorized. This verse right here, if heeded, will prevent a life of regret. If verse 23 would be heeded tonight, that it would certainly help us to make right choices in life and go in the right direction in life. And it says in verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so as I looked at that, and like I said, I've preached on this verse and out of these verses actually several times over the years. But I don't want to say, well, I've preached that, and I'll move on. But if God wants us to look at something again or be emphasized or reminded of it, then I certainly want to do that. As I look at verse 23, I note a few things, three major things that sticks out in my mind. Number one, I see here a requirement. A requirement. Now, that's a word that a lot of people don't even want to hear. They don't want nobody to tell them what to do or how to do or when to do or what not to do. But the Bible is filled with commands. And the Bible shows us in the verse 23 when it says, keep thy heart. Make a note of it that that is not a suggestion. Make a note that that is not a recommendation. In fact, the word keep there is in the imperative mood, which expresses a command to be given to the hearer. That is to be carried out based on the authority of the one doing the commanding. Amen. Keep thy heart. So it is given to us as a requirement, as a demand, or as a command. It is given to us. And when God gives a command, and there's many of them in the Scripture, always remember, when God gives a command, they are for our good. When God says, thou shalt not, he's looked ahead and he knows that if you go ahead and ignore that and do what he said not to do, or vice versa, that he knows the repercussions of that. If somebody is up on the highway and they know the bridge is out and they're telling you, don't continue on this path, They know the results that lies ahead. But sometimes we treat the commandments of God as if they are against us. God, you're telling us to do or not to do because you are just wanting us to live miserable lives. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. In fact, the Scriptures teaches us, I believe it's in 1 John, I believe it's chapter 4 or 5, that the Bible said that the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. That is, they're not burdensome. They're not weighty. They won't weight you down and they won't take your joy. So if the commandments of God are not grievous, then if we do the commandments, then we won't be grieved. If we're grieved, it's because we're not doing what the Bible says. So I don't just simply to note, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Again, I just simply wanted to note and remind us tonight that this speaks of requirement. Requirement. Don't ignore what is required. Don't ignore, treat lightly what God says for us to do. And so he's telling us here, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Number two, I notice, and I've just got three, we're going to be brief, Lord willing, but I note something else that God wants us to be reminded of here, that keep thy heart with all diligence not only identifies a requirement, but here's where most people gets off. Here's where most people loses ground, and that is it also speaks of responsibility. When God says keep thy heart, he says that's something you're to do. Amen? It's in the active voice, that is, you do it. We want our spirituality to be something that God does for us. Our salvation is that which God has done for us. But our spirituality is not what God has done for us. Amen? It is encouraged by what God has done for us. It is being motivated by what God has done for us. But the actual choice and commitment involved, it lays in our hands. Amen. And so there is a responsibility here talked about. Keep thy heart. You do it. And I noted here just simply that first there is a personal responsibility. He said, keep thy heart. If we're not careful, we'll want to keep their heart. Or we want to be in charge, self-appointed, Lord over somebody else to keep their heart. How many has been depressed doing that? How many's been defeated trying to do that? How many's been distracted from your own heart's condition when doing that? So he's not telling us, amen, a public responsibility, but he's saying it is a personal responsibility. Keep thy heart. That's hard to keep focus on, isn't it? Keep your eyes on your own heart. Keep your focus, keep your attention upon your own heart. So he talks about it being a personal responsibility. So listen, if there's a personal command, keep thy heart, and there's a personal or a personal requirement, if we just use the outline, if there's a personal requirement and there's a personal responsibility, and with responsibility comes accountability. In other words, we're accountable to God if we do it or don't do it. If God says do this and we don't do it, then we are at fault for the results. Amen. We are at fault, cannot blame God, cannot blame anyone else for what's going on in our heart. So there's a personal responsibility. And I want to say this too. I noted and just made a little note of it. It's just something God spoke to me about. That God's commands are always attached to our choices. God's commands are never, listen, are never linked to his sovereignty. When you know what I'm talking about when I make a reference to his sovereignty. Creation was a sovereign act of God. He didn't ask me nothing. He didn't ask nobody else nothing. He just, that was his sovereign choice, sovereign will, steps out and created worlds by the word of his power. Okay? But now when it comes to God's commands, he puts that in our hands and it is attached to a choice of the will to do or to not do. Do you follow that? His commands are always linked to our choices. Amen. And I believe that spirituality is the results of our choices being in compliance to His commands. When God says don't, we make the choice, we're not going to do that. When God says do this, we're going to make the choice to do that. And I believe the results would be like they sang tonight, that we would want to that we would be pleasing unto the Lord. But not only do I notice this responsibility is personal, but I also notice this responsibility is progressive. It is not something that you do on Monday, but you don't have to do on Tuesday. It's not something that you do when you first get saved, but then it's done. It's fixed. You never have to do it again. No, it's keep thy heart means all the time, continually, all along the way, keep thy heart. And I want to tell you why there's so much emphasis on that is because your heart, the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah that your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart, if you don't stay on guard and keep on the lookout of your heart, that you have tendencies in your own heart, amen, to go in the wrong direction. So there is it's a progressive responsibility. There's no place to let up. There's no place to lighten up. Amen. How many people have done good for months or possibly even for years, but then they collapse later on in their life when they stepped away from that guard, being that guard over their heart. Amen. And I've said this before and I'll mention it. The devil is so committed to you failing and falling that he's willing to wait your lifetime to succeed in that area. Now I want to get that. I want to be reminded of that. It doesn't matter how long you've served God. It doesn't matter what you've accomplished. It does not matter the trail of ministry that lays behind you. The devil, if he can cause a collapse and a calamity, amen, at the end of your life, and there are stories in the Bible where that happened, brother. People that had great testimonies but collapsed in the end. Are you listening? Gideon is one such person. One of the greatest men, even found his name is found in Hebrews 11. But you read the latter end of his life. Look at the end of his life. And it wasn't spiritual. So that tells us that it's got to be progressive. This keeping our heart has got to be something that's ongoing. And there's no age group there mentioned. Have you noticed that? It's not young people keep thy heart. And then when you're older, don't worry about it. You've mastered it. No, keep thy heart applies to all ages. Amen. And to every age group. So not only is it a personal responsibility and a progressive responsibility, but thirdly on that point of responsibility is that it's a preeminent responsibility. Look what the Bible says. Keep thy heart, watch this next statement, with all diligence. Now look in verse number 20, he talks about the ear. Verse number 21, he talks about the eyes. And of course the heart as well again. He talks about the heart in verse 23. He talks about the mouth and lips in verse 24. He talks about the eyes again in verse number 25. He talks about your feet in verse 26. Verse number 27, he talks about your hand. Again, the foot is mentioned in verse 27. What that with all diligence means, that with everything that you have to be watching, all, you know, keep your eye, keep, be alert, be on guard as it comes to your ear, what you listen to, as it comes to your eyes, what you look at and what you watch and where's your focus at, as it comes to your mouth in verse 24 and your lips, verse 24, that which you say and speak, your conversation. He said you need to be on guard about all those things, amen? Your feet in verse 26, amen? Your ways in verse 26. Verse 27, your hands and your feet, again in verse 27, of considering all the things that you and I need to be watchful over and be on guard over. Above all of that, give all diligence to watch out for your heart. You know why? Because usually, whatever the condition and direction your heart is in, that will affect your eyes, that will affect your ears, that will affect your hands, your mouth, your lips, and your feet, and so on. So above all, have you heard this little statement? It's not mine. I've heard it years ago, that the heart of every problem is a problem of the heart. Amen. The problem of the heart of every problem is a problem of the heart. Anybody that deviates, anybody that leaves the path of the just and heads out in the wrong direction, it happened in their heart before it ever happened visibly. Before it ever became action, it was already in their heart. You listen, I believe you'd agree with me on this tonight, that the prodigal in Luke 15, he went to the far country in his heart long before he ever left the house. Before his feet ever actually walked on the far country roads, and before his bodily presence was there in that far country, he was already there in his heart and in his mind. Amen. And he fed on that, and he kept giving attention to that. I wonder what it'd be like to be in the far country. I wonder what it'd be like to be popular. I wonder what it'd be like to be down there. Until curiosity did kill the cat, and he made his move, but it was a regret. Naomi and Abimelech left Bethlehem, Judah, and went to Moab. You know good and well that wasn't a spur of the moment decision. That was something, no doubt, that had been contemplated on over and over and discussed and over again, that it was discussed that we need to go to Moab. I hear they've got bread there and we're in a famine here. I'm just simply pointing that out, that above everything in your life, keep your eye, keep your guard up. Amen. Keep watchful over your heart. Amen. Because that's where your deviation is going to start. But it's not where your deviation will stay. When you begin to deviate, you begin to go astray, amen, to the left or the right from what God says in His Word. You deviate in your heart. It starts in your heart, but it doesn't stay in your heart. Here, good way to say it. What starts in your heart will soon surface in your habits. Amen. Your heart makes the choices. You say, Breach, why are you talking about heart? The definition of that word heart, I wrote it down. The definition of that word heart simply is the mind, the will, the inner man, the your feelings, it's the seat of affection, it's the seat of your appetites, it is the seed bed of your desires. Keep thy heart. Keep your mind. Watch your heart in that Watch your desires. The further I go, the more I think about it, the more I preach, the more I pray, the more I study, I believe that one of the major things that you and I need to keep our focus on is our desires. When you are not where you need to be in your heart, it will show up first in your desires. Amen. Before it shows up in a decision, it'll show up in your desires. And listen to me now. This is where we all need to be honest with ourselves. That's when you need to be honest with yourself to be able to recognize, you know what, my desires are not where they once were spiritually. My desires are declining. You may not be in the far country, but your desires for the Father's house is starting to diminish and decline. You need to be honest with yourself. You and I should be the first ones to notice when we are losing ground spiritually. Amen, that's right. So the heart has to do with the mind, the will, your feelings, your affections, passions, your appetites. When you start to lose an appetite for the spiritual, listen, you don't just lose that. You don't just lose that appetite for the spiritual. It will always be replaced with an appetite for the carnal. You don't just lose interest in church and Bible reading and prayer and the will of God for your life. You don't just decline and to a point that you're not interested in that anymore. No, when you go down spiritually, the flesh rises. Amen. I'm talking to believers. This right here verse was given to believers. Amen. So anyway. So we're talking about the responsibilities. There's a requirement here. There's responsibility here. Above everything in your life, stay in focus. Stay in tune with the condition of your heart. Now, if anybody in here, and I preached on this back a year or two or three ago when I preached on something about heart problems. I don't remember now how I titled it. But I preached a series on that. Anybody in here, if we had physical heart issues tonight, I mean, brother, when I say we're dismissed here in a moment, and all of a sudden somebody grabs their chest and they're having pains, what are you going to do? Oh, don't worry about it. It's just my heart. No big deal. No. You will step up your alertness. Your attention will go away from everything else. Well, I've got calls to make. I've got people to see. I've got things to do. I've got to hurry up and get to the house. No, when that heart starts messing up, your physical heart, when it starts messing up, it gets into the priority position. Amen. I spoke to a lady here in town, and I'd say she's probably in her 70s. And I didn't even know it, but she said, "Preacher, I had a heart attack." And I hadn't heard anything about it. I said, "You had a heart attack?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "Tell me about it." She said, "I drove myself to the ER." I said, "You didn't want to call 911 or call the ambulance?" She said, "I didn't think I had that much time to wait on an ambulance to get there." So she took that. In other words, she made it a priority. This is all important. Something's going on with my heart physically, and I need to react to that quickly and urgently. And she's still among the living now because she did not ignore that. We won't ignore our heart physically if there's an issue, right? But what about our spiritual heart, our will, our mind, our desires? Number three, write this down. Give it to you. Not only do I see in verse 23 a requirement, I see in verse 23 a responsibility given, but also I see the reasons that are given. When God says, "Keep thy heart," there's a reason for that. When God says a command, there's a reason for that. When God says don't touch that or don't do that, there's a reason for that. When God says do this or that, there is a reason for that. And the reason is here mentioned, keep thy heart with all diligence, here it is, for out of it are the issues of life. What about that? I believe, can we say from there that everything that we are that comes out of our heart, what we are tomorrow is already in our heart today in the works? May we have a heart for the Lord. Look and just keep your place right there for a second. Look at chapter 16. Actually, what you need to do, and I've done it, is you ought to make a cross reference. I don't know if you're writing your Bible or not, but you ought to make a reference beside of verse 23 to chapter 16, verse 9 of Proverbs. A man's heart deviseth his way. You see that? That's strong words. A man's heart deviseth his way. That word deviseth there, I looked it up, wrote the definition in my Bible. That word deviseth means the man's heart will weave and plot and compute and to invent his ways. Also, one of the definitions of that word device, I just noticed here down, I looked at it in my Bible here, it also means to forecast. What about that? A man's heart will forecast, if I could put that in that verse, a man's heart will forecast his way. A man's heart, look at your heart, what's going on the inside, and that will tell you where you're going. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. What about that? I never have looked at it. In fact, it never stuck out to me till just now. And I plan on looking at it when I get home, studying it a little bit, looking up the definition. There's something there, I'm sure, that's a contrast between where it says a man's heart deviseth his way and the word steps, but the Lord directeth his steps. Just off the top of my head, it would appear that the way would seem a long-term layout, whereas the steps would be God directs you moment by moment and step by step. And amen. I don't know that. That just came to my mind. But a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And then back in our text, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it. See, that's the thing the devil's focusing on is getting in it. If he can put something in it, if he can put bitterness in it, if he can put unforgiveness in it, if he can put lust in it, if he can put things like that in it, he knows that it's just a matter of time, just a matter of time before what's in it will come out of it. Even, what is it, Matthew 12, where it says, out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if it's in your heart, it's going to come out in your actions, your desires, your thoughts, your words, something. Out of it are the issues of life. God wants us, that word keep, God wants us to guard and protect and maintain and preserve our heart. Because why? The reason is if something ever gets in it that's not supposed to be there, it will come out. It will surface. You say, no, preacher, I'm going to keep it all secret. I'm going to keep it all secret. Nobody will ever know. If it's in your heart, it's going to come out. It's going to come out through your mouth. It's going to come out through your choices. It's going to come out through a decision you make. Amen. It's going to come out. You can't keep it in there. It will come out. Amen? But it says that he will, that for out of it are the issues of life. And that word issues just simply means the outgoings of life. the outgoings of life, or the borders. I wrote the definition down of that word, issues, the borders of life. Borders are boundaries. A person whose heart is not right with God are not going to hardly have any kind of boundaries. Y'all getting that? Not having much, not many boundaries. No. In fact, most people today that are lost, they don't want boundaries. They don't want requirements. They don't want restrictions. They don't want any rules. They want just I want to do whatever I want to do. Everybody does that which was right in their own eyes. No boundaries. Out of it are the issues of life. Amen. May God help us as we've been reminded again. I thought about yesterday. I made a note of it last night. Actually, up the, in the service, it came to my mind again. When you're driving a car, and that steering wheel, is somewhat, of course, that's where your direction comes in and all of that. Whatever's going on with the steering wheel is going to be going on with the whole car. Whatever's going on with your heart is going to be going on with your whole life, right? But when you're driving, most people in here, several in here drives. When you drive, how quickly do you identify deviation? If you'll notice when you drive, and I noticed it last night driving the van, and I've noticed it before, you're constantly doing this when you're driving. What is that doing? That right there identified a little right drift. That identified a correction of a left. And I'm doing this as boundaries and borders to keep myself in the path of going forward. And last night, one of the times, Brother Craig, remember? How everybody on the van got saved three times. No, I'm just kidding. And I'm thankful that on the right-hand side of the road is a rough, they've got them bumps. You know, everything, and all of a sudden. In other words, that gets your attention that you're going in the wrong direction. And quickly you think, you know what? I'm not going to ignore that. Why? Because there's either a bank or a ditch or a tree or a something coming that's not going to be healthy. When you hear that rough, that lets you know that you've drifted, that you've deviated. And a smart driver will pay attention to that and ease back on to the road. God sets up warnings for us when we're headed in the wrong direction. You'll never convince me that He don't warn His people when we're going in the wrong direction. When we're considering something, when we're contemplating something that is not right or not pleasing to the Lord, that's going to be for self, He's going to let you know that that's not right somehow. Well, Colossians 3:15 tells us that let the peace of God rule in your heart. That word rule means referee. What does a referee do? A referee will blow the whistle on you when you do something that is contrary to the rules and the requirements of the game. Right? So when we're starting to deviate, the peace of God will be disturbed in our heart. The Holy Spirit will say, don't do that. Or if we do cross over the line, the Holy Spirit of God will eat us up with conviction. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said that. Amen. I said something yesterday talking to Brother Craig. I made mention of something as we was just riding up the road. As soon as I said it, the Holy Spirit went, and I quickly said, I shouldn't have said that. Didn't I, Brother Craig? I said, I shouldn't have said that. He said, what was it? It don't matter. It's none of your business. I just said the Holy Spirit quickly, that quick, said, no, that ain't right. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that. Amen. And boy, I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad he notices when usually when we deviate, we've got our eyes on something else, you know, we're focusing on something else. But I'm glad for the Holy Spirit when he lets us know, you keep going in that direction, it's going to be bad. And it'd be for our wisdom to pay attention to that. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Father, we thank you for the reminder again tonight of the Word of God and of this verse of Scripture that I believe tonight can be, Lord, no doubt life salvaging. I believe it can be ministry salvaging. Lord, I believe it can be more of a help than we can even comprehend tonight. I believe if the prodigal in Luke 15 had have known this verse and applied it to his life, he'd have never went to the far country. Naomi and Abimelech would have never went to Moab. And many others in the Bible would have avoided disaster. They would have avoided shipwreck. I believe Samson would have had the end result of his life had he known this verse and had heeded this verse. Please help us tonight as you've reminded us again of this scripture and its importance to us. In Jesus' name.